I am a real American.
Look at the stars and stripes behind Mark Cabali. For those of you joining us live, welcome in to Cabali and Mac way after dark tonight. It is the night of the Four Nations face-off final, and it literally just ended a few moments ago.
Yeah.
Connor McJesus, of all people, scoring the game-winning goal in overtime for Team Canada. For those of you watching this on the replay, yeah, congratulations to the Canadians. Nice job. Good job. Nice work by you guys. We'll always have Saturday night in 3 fights in 9 seconds, I guess. Disappointing, kaboom. Thanks, as always, to the Dan Hecht team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. You see it on Mark's sweatshirt there, heckteamhomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to help you get it done. In fact, I think it's Michelle's birthday tomorrow. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, everybody over at heckteamhomes.com and the Dan Hecht team, happy to take care of you. And also want you to know, happy to help the community as well. That Whitehall Fire Company raffle continues for that 2025 Ford F-150 STX, all to raise money for the Whitehall Fire Hall. Go to WhitehallFire301.com. Tickets are only $45. I drive by that truck every day. They've parked it out front now, Mark. It's a big boy truck. I now want to buy multiple tickets to try and win it, because every time I drive down 51, I see it there parked in front of the Whitehall Fire Hall, and I want it for myself.
Sounds good. I took a nap today.
You took a nap today?
I think about 3 of them. So
how long is your average nap?
42 minutes.
You've actually timed it? That's oddly specific.
Yeah, it's strange.
42 minute naps. I mean, that's basically adding like 2 hours of sleep to your day. Yeah, you should be recharged, refreshed, energized, ready to go.
Well, that makes up for the lack of sleep at night. So
why don't you sleep at night? You just
man. You know, those 42 minutes naps, they turn into 90 minute sleep sessions at night. I get about 3 or 4 of those.
Oh, man.
I'm not a sleeper. You know, I'm aching. My knee hurts, my foot hurts, my ankle hurts. So it just wakes me up.
All those Achilles are killing you.
Achilles. So I'm raring to go right now.
Yeah, you're fresh as a daisy. We could talk obviously about the Four Nations thing. We'll talk. The salary cap is going up in the NFL. I want to talk to you about that. And of course, we lost a legend in Pittsburgh in the last 48 hours as well. Thanks to everyone at First and Goal. Got to thank them. First and Goal Collectibles. They are providing to us a Sidney Crosby autographed photo plaque. It's of him scoring a goal against Sweden in Sochi, the Sochi Olympics in 2014. But the first 500 subscribers to the Cabali and Mac channel on YouTube, you're in the running to win that. Thanks to our friends at First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village. Go check them out.
Yeah, where are we at now? We're 420. So maybe earlier next week.
Man. Yeah. All right. Early I like next that. Week. Next week, Cabali will be in Indianapolis to talk to Omar on Tuesday. I don't know, probably have some of that shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's.
That's really expensive, man. You get four shrimp, I think, for like $25. I am not kidding you. And
inflation.
It opens up your sinuses, man.
I've heard it's really good.
I don't know, good. It's just hot. I'm more of a cooked shrimp guy. Cooked as in hot. I'm not a cold shrimp guy.
Okay. So, yeah, because they cook the shrimp. They steam the shrimp. They then chill it. Like, it's cooked. Yeah, it's not raw shrimp, like, fresh out of the water.
Oh, man. We're getting trolling Canadians on our
yeah.
Something like this.
Matt is welcoming, welcoming us to the 11 provinces and territories. Slappy McGee is criticizing your choice of the beautiful Old Glory hanging behind you. That's all right. Canada can win in hockey. You guys can have that. You have it. That's good. We're happy for you.
Yay.
I'm not, you know, in all honesty, I wouldn't be taking this as hard if McDavid hadn't scored the goal. Why I think not? That
your love of Crosby and he's
No. Well, I mean, obviously I love Sidney Crosby and everything he's done for Pittsburgh and all that. Like, I mean, he's the face of hockey in Pittsburgh. He's right up there next to Mario, right? So, like, I love Sidney Crosby. Like, that's, I don't know why you're trying to mock me with that, Mark.
Yeah, I don't. But I hear a lot of people saying this is McDavid's, you know, golden goal. Well, one of them's a Four Nations tournament, and one of them's the Olympics.
I'm not going to do that thing where I try to diminish. Because, like, look, if sure the American – no, I'm not. Because if the Americans had won, I would have been as excited for this as an Olympic gold medal after the way this tournament went. This tournament was a rousing success, not just because of Saturday night, the three fights in 9 seconds, and Freebird and all that. No, it was a rousing success because it got people, not just hockey fans, it got people in general to pay attention to hockey at a level like never before seen in the middle of February. Like, other than the Olympics, like, this is the most people have paid attention to NHL hockey in the middle of February since, well, like I said, the last Olympics. Even then, this had a little extra on top, it felt like.
But, you know, are you really going to get the casual fan? The casual fan's going to tune in next week to, like, Toronto and Pittsburgh and say, what is this game? Compared to what I just watched.
So there's a couple things. I think you're onto something here. One, yeah, when I turn on the game on Saturday, true, it'll be Caps, Penguins, and it's Ovechkin and Crosby, and Ovechkin's chasing the goal record and all that. But, like, it's not going to have the same intensity. It's just not. We won't see another hockey game with similar intensity of what we saw tonight until we get to this, you know, conference finals. There's a conference finals game 7 or a Stanley Cup final game 7. Like, until almost Memorial Day.
Unless Florida plays Tampa, then we don't care.
Yeah, I mean, that's entirely possible, too, because of how regional the NHL fan could be. But anyway, my point is, like, it's not going to look the same. You're absolutely right about that. And then also, there is something, and this is going to be worth watching. Like, Matthew Tkachuk didn't skate at all in, like, the final 38 minutes of this game. He's clearly hurt. Charlie McAvoy had to have shoulder surgery, you know, like, dude's got hurt playing these games, which is what happens when you play high intensity hockey. It's not to be surprised, but for teams that maybe you're trying to gear up for a Stanley Cup run, that's no good. The Bruins are like 1 point out, I think, of a playoff spot right now. McAvoy out for who knows how long. You know, the Panthers trying to defend the Stanley Cup championship. Tkachuk, who knows? All these, you know, there were players who were out there laying it all on the line because that's what hockey players do. And
You got the Washington Capitals in first place, sitting at home, not having one person participating in these games, thinking, "Huh,
right? They didn't, did they? They didn't have anybody, did they? Just realized that. Not a single Washington Capital on any of these teams. A couple people have already said in the chat, whether it's on X or on YouTube, they're blaming Austin Matthews for this, and. Because Austin Matthews totally ignored Connor McDavid in the slot, which is what, you know, where McDavid scored the game-winning goal from. Fair criticism. I'm not going to put it all on Austin Matthews. They had opportunities, and Jordan Binnington stole it from him in overtime. Like,
That's it. I mean, this is a guy that kept him in the game that first 7 to 10 minutes of overtime. And once you, you know, get past that span right there where they're just going crazy, then anything can happen. And you see that. How many times have you seen that? Teams just go nuts for 7-8 minutes, shot after shot, save after save. Then before you know it, the other team comes down and scores. I mean, Austin Matthews might be a little bit more upset than, you know, not burying one when he had a good shot, I believe, late in that game.
But I don't put that on Matthews. Like, Matthews, that's a nice shot by Matthews. I think he did the best he probably could in that situation. Binnington just robbed him. I mean, Binnington makes two saves back-to-back in a matter of, what, 15 seconds that are just out of his mind. That's what did it. That's if you're a Canadian hockey fan tonight and you're excited about this, yes, be excited about Connor McDavid scoring a game-winning goal in international competition against the U.S. and compare him to Crosby if you want to. He's got to win three Stanley Cups to get to that point. Do all that if you want to. Understand, without Jordan Binnington making those two saves, Austin Matthews and that mustache are dancing on your grave. So, I mean, credit to Binnington. Credit to the Canadians for winning, and credit most of all to their goaltender.
Yeah, you know, the captain didn't have his best of games, but, I mean, that's – you're lucky he's even out there, right? You're lucky
he's he's playing with one arm, Yoey basically told us.
I wonder how many – did you see how many minutes he played? I think he played pretty significant amount of minutes for a guy who missed a couple games leading up to this as well.
Yeah, I think – I mean, it's not like he was being hidden at the end of the bench. I'll say that much. Hold on. I'll pull it up here in a second once I find the box score. But I would have to think he had top six forward minutes, I would think. Hold on. Let me pull up the time on ice.
Power play.
Crosby had even strength. Yeah. At even strength, Crosby had 17, almost 17 and a half minutes of ice time. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five guys had more ice time than him, five forwards. So, yeah, he was top six in ice time amongst forwards at even strength for Canada.
All right, we can go back to worrying about the Pirates playing on Sunday.
I can't believe spring training games start already.
All right.
Don't worry, they signed Andrew Heaney.
I've never heard of him.
33-year-old lefty. Happened to be on the Rangers roster a couple years ago when they won a World Series. He's not good. He also can't play first base and hit 30 home runs, so it doesn't matter.
So he reminds you of, like, Moneyball and what was that guy's name?
The guy that they Hatteberg.
Hatteberg.
He's not Scott Hatteberg.
Scott, you're playing first base.
It's Scott, it's incredibly easy. Wash, tell him. It's not easy.
nothing, whatever he says. Whatever's good is not worth it. I don't know what the hell he said, but it was funny.
Baseball. Don't even.
This is probably the year that they probably actually have a chance now, because nobody's given them a shot here, and they're a pathetic organization that has absolutely, well, very limited talent. They'll come out and shock you a little bit.
Look, Paul Skeens can only start like a fifth of their games, if that. Like, you know. He can only do so much on his own.
Yeah.
I mean,
when does he start getting fed up? About July?
Yeah, about August when they're 15 games out and he's, you know. That's the shame of it, is they didn't need to go out and sign Andrew Heaney. They're going to have young starters that might be ready to go right out of the gate, right out of spring training, right? Like, obviously, you've got the guys that are in the rotation now, but then you're going to have Braxton Ashcraft, Mike Burrows, Bubba Chandler, Thomas Harrington could all be major league rotation ready by the end of the summer. And guess what? Most of them are going to sit in Indy and wait until at least mid-June, if that, before they finally get called up. In the meantime, we'll get Andrew Heaney and Bailey Falter. So that'll be nice.
Can we have another Four Nations tournament in June and July? And
every couple of months have a Four Nations tournament. I'm
August.
Fine with that. If you're thinking about it being spring out already, though, and you don't want to have to worry about taking care of your lawn, you don't want to have to cut the grass, you don't have to water the stuff. You know how much it costs to water a lawn in the middle of summer? It's like $400 a month, depending on how big your lawn is and how much water you're spraying on that thing. Just get the good stuff from Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Whether you just want a little corner of the yard turned into artificial turf, maybe, they can do that, believe it or not. Maybe you just want like a little putting green to practice on, because you're a golf fanatic. I don't know. Maybe you want a play area for the kids. What's great about this? Everybody can use the Southwest Greens turf once it's installed in your yard. Even the dog can go out there and use it for what dogs use the yard for.
You know what I looked at? I was looking at their website. They also install bocce courts.
Oh. And
something of your age. You know, you're getting up there in age.
Who the hell are you talking to? You're older than me.
Little pickleball court.
They can. Oh, they can. That's right. They do sport courts. They could. What would you do with a pickleball court in your backyard, Kaboom?
Probably just watch it. Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Personally, but
I mean, but like you could have a neighborhood pickleball league, and you could bet money on it.
I'm more like Bocce. Not much activity.
Why are you calling him Bocce?
Isn't that what the Italians call it? I'm like half Italian, so I can call it Bocce.
Bocce. Just call it Bocce. Just anyway. Southwest Greens can do all of this stuff that Cabali is referencing that he will take no part in if it were to be built in his yard. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you, and they will make sure to get you taken care of. So the Four Nations face-off final is in the rearview mirror, and there you go. It's done and over with. So not only does the U.S. lose tonight, we had worse news from the hockey world yesterday when the news came out that former Pirates play – or excuse me, Pirates. Well, he did actually announce for the Pirates at one time. Penguins play-by-play man Mike Lang passed away at the age of 76. And immediately everyone starts sharing their favorite Mike Lang-isms or Mike Lang clips on social media. I think if you're right around a certain age – like our age, right? Like anywhere basically in your mid to late 40s, okay? I think Mike Lang is like the soundtrack of your youth, basically, of your teenage years at the very of growing up, because he's here in 84 when Lemieux gets drafted, right? Came here a few years before that, obviously. Lemieux gets drafted. They struggle for a few years, but finally get to the playoffs. Jágr gets drafted. They win two cups. Lemieux retires. Jágr stays in there and becomes the most dominant force in the league. Lemieux comes back. Then Jágr leaves. Then Sid is drafted. They win a cup. Malkin's included as well. Fleury, two more cups. I mean, the man is the sound of hockey in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, I remember... Ooh, I don't even know. It was, I don't know what year it was. It might have been right around my graduation year, going to a commencement with the old transistor radio in the air, listening to like game six of the Stanley Cup finals just to hear Mike Lang. It was, but you know what? Which is interesting. I've been in this business for so long, 20 odd years, and I've never met Mike Lang.
You never got
never crossed the path. Of the great, I've heard a lot about him. I've heard some stories, you know, that we've all probably heard behind the scenes of the great humor of Mike Lang. I've never met the individual, never met the man. But, you know, a lot of times you can tell what type of person he is by, I mean, just when he passed away, you just get an outflowing of support. And not just because he was a Penguins announcer. It's more than that. It's just that he was a, what you can gather, what you hear, at least on my end, is a good guy that everybody was able to understand, and everybody was able to, you know, really like what he was able to do. And so
he did a great job. He did a great job of painting the picture. And it's, I think I saw Josh said it in his piece, or maybe Seth Rohrbaugh wrote it. I've read so many Mike Lang things over the last 24 hours. He did a great job of painting a picture of action. And it is the fastest sport in the world, right? Like, it does not stop. The puck's flying around the ice. You got to keep an eye on the puck from two levels, three levels up in the arena. You're watching the entire play develop. It is probably the most difficult sport to do play-by-play of. And he handled it, not just doing it for radio, but for many, many years, simulcasting on TV while doing it, and then finally moved over to TV permanently and never skipped a beat, and then back to radio, obviously, late in his career. The guy was just – and here's the thing. Nobody runs around, I don't think, sharing negative stories about people after they pass away, right? Everybody wants to say something nice. The thing about Mike Lang was – I never heard anybody say anything bad about him while he was still alive. Like he was nice to everybody. I you know, covering the Penguins a little bit, I had the chance to meet him several times. Always kind, always said hello, always asked how you were doing. He was just one of those guys. And I knew, you know, I covered the Penguins a couple times. This is way back, like 2006, I want to say, 2007. I got the chance to do some pre and post game shows on 1250 ESPN. And so I would get to go down. I get to cover the morning skate sometimes. I'd get to, you know, go down into the locker room, interview guys, cover games, sit there at practices sometimes and listen to some of these guys talk. And he was always, like I said, incredibly kind, but down to earth. I remember, you got up into the press box at the Igloo. Did you ever go up there?
No, I've never covered Penguin game.
You never? Oh my God. It was so tiny, so cramped. And you'd get up there and there was this little tiny, it wasn't even a room. It was like a closet, basically, where they would run off copies of the score sheets in between periods. Back when she got her start, Jen Bolano would go back there and run off copies, and then she'd hand them out in between periods. And that's where Mike Lang would go in between periods. This is how I knew I'd made it.
The heater.
He would go down there and fire up a heater and hold it. There was a vent up probably about arm's length height above his head. He'd fire up a heater and just hold it right up there by the vent so the smoke would blow directly outside and nobody would be able to smell it. And I walked by once. I just did a double take. I was like, holy shit, Mike Lang's fired up a heater in the copy room. It was amazing. I was like, this guy is the most down to earth. And then he'd go right back to just calling the game of a lifetime and scratch my back with a hacksaw and Elvis has just left the building without skipping a beat.
On a similar but separate note, it just makes – it makes you sad because in our age group, like you said, we've grown up with guys like Myron Cope, like Bill Hillgrove, Mike Lang, to a degree, Lanny Fritteri. I was a big Lanny Fritteri guy with the Pirates, Bob Prince before that, before my time. It's just sad that it doesn't look like that will carry on. You know, that was that age of sports and broadcasting where I just don't think you'll see that anymore. And, you know, like my kid growing up will never be able to have a Mike Lang, a Myron Cope or you know, a Bill Hillgrove or whatever. And it's
not the same level. Old, man. It's not the same level of characters. Yeah. Definitely. Like Josh Getzoff does a really good job. Yeah. You know, I Greg Brown for the Pirates. I love Brownie. He's called a lot of moments that I will always remember from the Pirates' little stretch run back in 2013, 14, 15, and other moments around, you know, he's been doing it for 30 years.
Oilers game.
So I actually heard, so completely unrelated. Hold on, I'll get to this side story in a second. But a Brownie, you know, there are plenty of people. Rob King, I think, does a really good job on Steeler games. But you're right, they're not the same characters that say Cope and Mike Lang and Bob Prince were. But it's funny you bring up Brownie, or actually I brought up Brownie. You mentioned the Bills. I was watching old Super Bowl videos on Super Bowl weekend, like the NFL films, you know, 25-minute highlight film version of old Super Bowls. And I worked my way all the way up into the mid to late 20s, like Super Bowl 25, 26, 27, 28. And there's a healthy amount of Greg Brown in those highlight videos because he was calling Bills games back then.
Were you aware? Were you?
Oh, no, I knew it. I knew it. I remember because, like you said, the comeback against the Oilers, some of his calls are the best from that game. So I remembered him doing that, but it was just funny. I had not heard some of those Super Bowl highlights in probably 20, 25 years.
Yeah. You know, honestly, now I think about it, you bring up Brownie. He probably does fit into that in his own unique way right now.
Well, because he comes up with the phrases, you know, for a lot of
He gets hyper over, like, you know, a single. Plus, he's been doing it for 25 years, right?
But that's the key, I think. You know, Cope's thing was his voice, obviously, right? You know, Hillgrove is a character himself, still is, obviously. Mike Lang came up with the sayings. All of it is because, like, they're real. They're just being real. They're being who they are. And that's what Brownie does. Like, when he gets super excitable over a base hit in the bottom of the sixth in the middle of May, It's because he's legitimately that excited about it because he loves it that much. And that's what I think is important. If you're going to be a good play-by-play announcer, you better be as excited as the most excitable fan and be genuine about it. And that's what leads you down the path of some of the greats that we were just talking about, including Mike Lang. And be good at what you do. Don't just be like, I hear Bengals clips all the time. The Bengals guys might be some of the most annoying in the country. Apologies to anybody in Cincy, but like your play-by-play team, all they do is yell and scream. I get it. They're excited. That's cool. I'm glad they're excited. But I have no flipping idea what the hell's going on when they start screaming, because all they're doing is screaming. The one thing Mike Lang, Bill Hillgrove, Myron Cope even, Greg Brown, Lanny Fritteri, they would get excited, but they'd continue to actually describe the action so you know what's going on. And there are some people that take it too far with the excitement, and all you get is yelling and screaming.
Yeah, you know, Lanny, I sometimes go down to his journalism class and speak to him.
Waynesburg.
Yeah, and you know what? He talks about that a lot, of not liking the today's screaming, yelling type of play-by-play guys.
That really bothers me. Because people, I think, try to overdo it for effect sometimes. Or they lose track of where they're at, and it's like, you're not calling a game anymore. You're just yelling and screaming. Like,
boom goes the dynamite.
Exactly. Like, Lanny would drop, and there was no doubt about it at the end of every win. And that was, you know, that might be as excitable as he got, but you still knew that he was excited, and you still didn't miss anything during the game. Anyway, what's your favorite Mike Langism?
Oh, it has to be Michael Motorcycle, right?
Michael Motorcycle.
Do you remember that shirt that they came out with all the sayings?
Yes.
I mean, that was like, it was extremely Yinzer shirt, but so many
people. Oh, that's something you get in the strip for $5 back in the day. Oh,
it's just wonderful. I'm just trying to think of some of the other ones, but the Michael Motorcycle was by far the top on my list.
I mean, smiling like a butcher's dog, scratch my back with a hacksaw, all the classics.
I mean, did he really not invent, but did he make popular the "he shoots and scores"? That's where I heard it obviously first, but I don't know if that's just commonplace amongst hockey announcers back
then. I think his cadence and the way he did it, I think that was kind of his trademark, his stamp on it. There was something about the way it would get low and kind of guttural and almost a growl. Like I posted the Mario Lemieux goal against the Maple Leafs in 2000 in his first game back. That's like the perfect example of the Mike Lang. Hey, and it literally sounds like a motorcycle rev.
Eaters and events.
Yeah, exactly. That's where he got it.
Doing that for anything else but to enhance his voice.
Oh, it made him sound amazing if that's what it was for. But that's where I first heard it anyway. Was that nice long low? Hey, shoots and scores. Was Mike Lang? Elvis has just left the building. Mike Lang. I mean, look out, Loretta. He doesn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. Arnold Slick, Turtle Crick. And what was the one Shelby Cassesi posted one this morning? It was an overtime playoff win against the Capitals during one of the Stanley Cup runs. I want to say during the 2016 Stanley Cup run. And what the hell did he say? I think Elvis has just left the building, I think he says. And then he drops out of nowhere. Like, this was an impromptu one. This was not a tagline or a repeatable one that he would use over and over again. He drops because the Capitals had the best record in the league that year. The line he drops is, "And all the President's Trophy men couldn't put Humpty back together again." And it was amazing. Given where the Penguins and Capitals were in their history at that point, Crosby, Ovechkin, the Pens were looking to win another cup. The Caps had won, I think, were on the verge of winning one of their first one of winning their first. So it was just that rivalry was at its peak. And I was like, my God, to have the wherewithal to drop that after dropping his "Elvis has just left the building" tagline as well. The guy's a legend. He's going to be missed. A
statue.
They probably should do a statue, really. I don't know if it's an outside the building statue. Maybe it's an inside the building one. Maybe put something. Yeah. It would be really cool if they could do something inside the building. Like right as you walk in, you come up the first set of escalators, you know, if you're coming down from Washington Place. I can't remember which gate it is, the Highmark Gate, maybe the People's Gate, whatever. And then you go to wrap around and go up the second set of escalators. They should have something there, like with all of his sayings and like a Mike Lang monument of some sort.
Yeah, let's just hope it's better than the Pirates, Ralph Kiner hands.
You don't like the Ralph Kiner hands?
I actually was there. I actually covered that game when they unveiled it, and Ralph Kiner was there, and he looked at it like, what the hell is this?
Where's the rest of me?
It's just my hands.
That's kind of funny, actually. I could see Kiner saying something about it,
too. This was early 2000, so yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I see the Ralph Kiner hands, I think of that look on his face like, oh, my goodness.
Thanks as well to Impact HVAC. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Tony and the guys will take care of you if the furnace has gone kaput during these freezing cold days over the last couple of weeks. They'll also take care of you in the summer. Maybe the AC does the same thing. Get it tuned up before the warm air gets here, before the red hot days of summer. They'll come out this spring, give it a little tune-up, give it a check, make sure you're all good to go for when it does get hot this summer. Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook is where you go to find them. And again, whether it's to get the furnace tuned up, to get the AC ready for the summer, they'll come on out and take care of you. Thanks to them as well for jumping on board here on Cabali and Mac. Cabali and Mac after dark tonight. Oh, as
in the morning.
Well, yeah, technically it's Cabali and Mac breakfast now, I guess, because it's
that might be taken already. Breakfast with Ben's. We better watch Trademark.
Yeah, yeah, I don't need
it. It's a late night snack.
Yeah, yeah, it's whatever. It's a last call with Cabali and Mac. There you go. How about that?
What is this, Thursday night? Yeah. They normally close midnight.
It's close enough. For those of you watching the replay, you don't care what time it is. But for those of you joining us live, we appreciate it. Either way, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, because if you're one of the first 500 subscribers to the Cabali and Mac channel on YouTube, you got a chance to win an Sidney Crosby autographed photo plaque from First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village. We posted it on our social media. Mark Cabali on X, the Chris Mack on X. You can go check it out. But very cool of First and Goal Collectibles to offer that up. As soon as we get to 500 subscribers on YouTube, we'll do a random draw and someone will win autograph.
I'm subscribed, photo. So what if you pull my name?
You don't know. You can't win.
But I'm subscribed.
It doesn't matter. You're ineligible. I just made the rule. You're ineligible. I'm ineligible. We can't win, okay? There, I made the rule.
How far does it go down in family members, though?
Anybody that lives in your household, ineligible.
Oh, jeez.
Okay?
Oh, man.
I don't want your kid subscribing on YouTube and all of a sudden showing up trying to claim an autographed Sid photo plaque.
He uses my YouTube and he complains I'm subscribed to this show. I'm like, what are you talking about, kid? Speaking of that,
Tuesday,
I need to walk to the toilet. I got to go plunge it
again. What do you feed this child?
He just eats everything. He did tell me. I just hope it goes down. I mean, now you know what I'm going to do at 12:30 at night. Go plunge the toilet.
Good thing you got that new plunger.
Yeah, I haven't really mastered it yet, though.
It's a plunger. What is there to master?
It's a different brand. You got to do it at a certain angle and all this crap.
Yeah, all this crap is right. Salary cap's going to go up like a lot more. Well, not a lot more. A good bit more than they expected it to. I wanted to talk this real quick before we both sign off and go to bed. But the Steelers are going to have plenty of money to spend this offseason. I guess it's going to be – this is – between last year and this year, it's going to end up having gone up like $50 million, the salary cap. When you're looking for a quarterback, that can be helpful. although I don't know if they're necessarily looking for a quarterback to spend that kind of money on right now. Could also be helpful if you're looking for a wide receiver, although we've talked plenty about this wide receiver market and how it might not be the best to spend a ton of money on. But they've got a number of different directions. I mean, Omar likes to kind of plug a bunch of holes in the dam before he goes to the draft so that he knows he's not drafting for any one position of need at the draft necessarily. He could kind of just spray the board, for lack of a better way to put it, and fill all these positions and still have cap space left over.
He could take a big swing, man. He could do that too. They have a ton of money, like you said. I think they have, what, $10 or $11 million left over from last year they can carry over as well as part of that. But, I mean, let's not really say this is more than what it is here. I mean, the number went up. The cap number went up. But you know what else don't go up? The price of everybody now.
That's true.
I think where it mattered for the Steelers was, you know, 8 to 10 years ago when it was like, hey, we're going to have to cut 4 or 5 guys just to get cap compliant. We need this type of money. The Steelers now, I don't know if they need it. Now maybe a guy like, you know, Chris Godwin, who might be re-signing with the Buccaneers. There's reports out there that's potentially on the, you know, on the horizon, gets 25 instead of 23. So I think it really is not going to make that much more of an impact for how, where the Steelers are right now. If they had lesser money, yeah, here, I think, you know, I still think that it's just all relative.
I mean, does it give them the chance? So the one thing I keep getting from people over the last couple of weeks, well, really since the Super Bowl, is they got to sign it. They got to sign a D line. They got to get a D lineman. They got to get a D lineman. And I think we all agree, like, the way they got steamrolled in the last month of the regular season and by the Ravens in the playoffs, yes, they need to do something to fortify up front against the run. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think a lot of us expected it would come in the draft, maybe in the form of a first round pick. This Walter Nolan kid out of Ole Miss is supposed to be really good. A lot of people think he'll still be there at 21. Wouldn't have a problem with that, even though they do need to, you know, renovate the wide receiver room. Is there maybe a better chance now that they go out and sign a D lineman? You mentioned B.J. Hill before. Who else is out there? Like a Javon Kinlaw, maybe? I don't know. But there are guys out there that might make sense now that with a couple extra bucks. They can go out. D linemen aren't traditionally that expensive.
Yeah, I mean, depends. I mean, I don't even know what's Hargrave. He's a free agent, I believe. Yeah. I don't know that. I would say in the past when they got rid of guys that they wouldn't bring him back, even, but that's been proven false here over the past couple of years. It doesn't really matter. They'll bring guys back. So he could be a potential. I don't know if he'd fit with what they want to do, but hey, I don't know how much he has really left. I don't really follow Javon Hargrave since he's been gone, but I think you need to add a veteran. I think that's where you have to do. Once again, you cannot go into the draft thinking, okay, I'm going to find somebody. Not only am I going to find somebody in the first round, second round, or third round, but who is good enough to be able to contribute right away. We thought DeMarvin Leal was going to be that guy. You know, we thought Keanu Benton was going to be a star by year two, and it just doesn't work out that way. So you can't go in and say, I'm drafting the whoever, Grant out of Michigan, and thinking he's going to be a day one starter and an impact player when it could be, but you can't anticipate that happening. So I think they do go out and find a defensive lineman.
I mean, they could. I mean, there are young interior defenders available too in free agency. The top three, according to PFF, actually, are all under the age of 27. There's I'm going to butcher his name, and I feel terrible. Adigizuwa, the dude from Dallas. Milton Williams from Philly is a free agent, I believe. I'm going to butcher the guy's name from Detroit, too. Damn it. Onwuzurike. Did I say that right? All under 27. All very good interior defenders, and all with this much more cap space, possibly all available.
You know, I look at tens. I look from like 4 to 5 years back to see who they brought in for pre-draft visits. It gives you a pretty good feel of the guy that might be out there, the guy that they would like.
Give me a name.
What year would that be? A one?
I mean, that would be probably like 21-ish. Yeah, 21.
Yeah, I don't even know they brought any in at that point. Because then they still have – that's the problem with that one is they still had Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward. So why would they be very much interested in anybody else at that point? Maybe – is this the guy you're talking about from UCLA, Usa Ugodezuwa?
Yes, exactly. You nailed it.
Well, they brought him for a pre-draft visit, so keep your eye on him.
Okay, perfect. I mean, I'm just – again – a lot of times, I'll be totally honest. I haven't seen every snap these guys have played. I've seen them a little bit in highlights, maybe. And then I go and look at the rankings of free agents available this year. And he's the top interior defender listed, according to PFF anyway. Apparently, really good interior pass rusher without sack numbers. But there's him. There's, like I said, Milton Williams from Philly. There's the dude from Detroit, Levi. Who's also a high draft pick in 2021.
Well, you know, these are guys that are not going to make a huge impact, right? Isn't that another Isaiah Loudermilk? Isn't that another?
No, I think they're better than that.
Loudermilk, I thought, got a little bit better last year. He's big. He's strong. But
I'm not asking him to, like, he's going in on goal line and special teams. Like, I'm not running him out there and asking him to play 2-3 downs. Yeah. Like, some of these guys can be 3-down D linemen. And like it or not, Cam's 36 going on 37. You need another one of those. If you could get somebody in free agency who's 26, 27, and then also draft someone and not have to race to do it in the first round. All right. That's how you start to develop some depth.
That's some good analysis right there. Get another Cam Hayward.
I didn't say get another Cam Hayward. When did I say that?
You said a guy like Cam Hayward. That's a guy you need. I swear you said that.
You make things. I'm convinced there is an alternate audio track running in the back of your head when I speak.
You said it.
Like it or not, Cam is getting old. He's 36 going on 37.
Get another guy like that, you said. And okay, let's go get a Hall of Famer.
No, that's not.
That's exactly what you said. Rewind it.
And I don't know if Cam's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
All right, Hines Ward.
Hines Ward's a Hall of Famer, too. He's just getting screwed. See, I tell you who my – you know who another one is, and I'm going to be on his bandwagon here soon, is Marquise Pouncey. I think he's a Hall of Famer. But
they're all borderline. They're all borderline.
Dude, he's made
– I love them all, but they're all borderline.
Every season he played more than 12 snaps, he made the Pro Bowl. What else can you say about an offensive lineman other than that? Although centers don't make it very often, so he's not going to be a guy that's going to make it right away. Then Roethlisberger's coming the year after that. So it's going to be tough for a lot of those guys.
Roethlisberger, yeah. Do you think Ben gets in first ballot, though?
Who?
Ben.
Absolutely. You think I enjoy him too much.
No. I would vote for him the first time through. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm saying there's still a contingent out there that doesn't like to put guys in first time through and that will put up a fight with Ben's first ballot. I'm just telling you, expect it to be a thing.
I think he's one of the top. I mean, the numbers, was he the third leading passer of all time? Couple Super Bowls. I don't know. He's won a ton of games. He has the numbers. He has the wins. He has the yards. He has the touchdowns. He has 6 touchdown games. I don't know what else you would need from a guy. So I think he's a slam dunker. I know you're thinking Eli Manning, but Eli Manning was a guy that.
No.
You know, he just didn't put up those monster numbers.
Eli's borderline at best. Like, if everybody decides to break one way one year when there's no other quarterbacks on the ballot, maybe Eli sneaks in while nobody's paying attention. Like, that's night and day, Ben and Eli.
I'm looking at Roethlisberger right now. We're talking about 65
in passing yards,
5,000 yard season.
I'm not arguing
5,000 yard season.
I'm not arguing that Ben isn't
418 touchdowns. What are you talking about?
Nobody's arguing that Ben is not a Hall of Famer. I asked if you thought he'd get some resistance on his first ballot because people don't like putting some people in on the first ballot.
He shouldn't. Okay. I mean, Jared Allen made this Hall of Fame, and so did Sterling Sharp.
Fair. It's the Hall of Very Good now. Maybe that's why Ward, Pouncey, and Cam all get in someday.
They changed the rules this year to make it harder to get in than people bitched and moaned that it was not enough people got in. I mean, which one is it now?
No, I'd be totally fine with there being some years where there's like one guy that gets in. I'd be totally okay with that.
Or just vote for nobody.
Yeah, I mean,
Ron Cook.
Jason White gets in if Ron's voting.
Ron Cook's been sleeping for 8 hours right now, so we don't have to worry about him watching this.
He's so detached from anything going on up here anymore.
I'll talk to him every once in a while. I'll be like, hey, they ever mentioned me on the show? I'm like, yep, you're detached, all right.
I texted him to ask for somebody's number probably like 2-3 weeks ago, and he's like,
yeah, who is this?
I'm sorry. No, he didn't give me that. I'm sorry. I haven't talked to him in so long. I don't think I have it anymore. And that was that. I was like, all right, take care of yourself, Ron. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man.
He said something to me about someone once. I have to be careful how I repeat this.
Be careful, because before you know it, it'll be on some blog.
Yeah. He said something to me about somebody once, talking about working with someone. And
what would that be?
No, not necessarily me working with someone. Oh. Just talking about having to work with a person, okay? And this person who he was talking about, like, Ron didn't share a lot of, like, feelings with me. Or, like, you know, a lot of... But he looked at me, and, like, the look in his eyes when he talked about this person was, like, searing hatred from his eyeballs. He's like, he's a bad person. He's evil. And I was like, oh.
I already know what you're talking
about. Okay. Wow.
Exactly, because you said
tell me what you really think, Ron. Jeez.
I know exactly who you're talking about, because he says that to me all the time about the same person.
And no, we're not going to tell you. Real quick, SmackDown tomorrow night, the final boss is returning. What do you think happens?
Whew. I mean, Roman Reigns needs an opponent for WrestleMania, right?
Ooh, that is a good call. I really like that.
I mean, we haven't seen Roman in it. I mean, who's he? You're not going to have a WrestleMania without Roman Reigns.
No.
So who makes any sense whatsoever right now?
So does The Rock come back and work heel now against babyface Roman Reigns and basically talk shit on him and say, you blew your opportunity, you killed the family name, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's tough. Because I don't know if The Rock can be ever be looked at as a heel.
I mean, he did a great job of it last year.
That was behind the scenes heel stuff, but actually playing the role of the heel. I mean, that's what he was in the 90s, but everybody loved him. So that's a fine line right there of trying to go out there and think that people are going to hate Dwayne The Rock Johnson. As soon as that music hits, they're going to go berserk.
Well, they're going to go berserk, obviously, but... I mean, the one thing I would worry about is that I don't know if Roman could keep up that level of babyface work or that kind of babyface pop reaction against, like you said, that, like, Dwayne could really go super heel on him and just rip him to shreds, I think. And I don't know if Roman can punch back at that level.
There's also Plan B. You know, Paul Heyman owes CM Punk a favor. Punk doesn't win the Elimination Chamber. He wants to be a part of WrestleMania. Get your boy out there, Roman Reigns. That could be a part of it, too.
Punk Reigns at WrestleMania? Yeah, but that's not, see, Punk's whole storyline is he wants to main event WrestleMania, right? Like, that's not, you can't use that as a main event when you got Cody main eventing presumably Sunday night and, I don't know, Jay Gunther on Saturday night, maybe?
Hey, Randy Orton's been awfully quiet.
Okay.
Do you think he's going to miss WrestleMania?
No, probably not.
Because he didn't get hurt or anything. He just took some time off here between, I guess,
he's December. Not a spring chicken anymore.
Wow, that's what they do. So it's going to be an interesting show here on Friday Night SmackDown.
I think I like the idea of the final boss character coming out and just lighting into Roman. That's what I think. Unless, I like this.
Unless I don't know why Roman would be a part of SmackDown, though. I guess they do cross over a lot. Maybe he's tries to do something with Solo, and I can see Solo Jacob being a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I could see that. Oh, maybe we get Rock Roman tagging again against Solo Jacob. Maybe.
No, I think Solo's going to go. I think.
You think those two are about for a split sooner rather than later?
I think, honestly, I think Tom is going to join Solo and actually become the baby faces in the old bloodline here. Now, where does that leave Rock? Baby, I think you're just going to switch Solo and Jacob. I think that's what's going to happen. Now, he's being his sidekick. I think Tom is now going to join Solo, and Jacob's going to make his run here in the 2025.
Interesting. Big Samoan werewolf.
Did you hear about the Tippy Ludwig and Jake Paul, Logan Paul?
I saw something in passing as I was scrolling through social media. I didn't actually get to see what the whole story was.
Apparently, backstage, Logan Paul went up to Tippy and said, "Hey, you ever need some help? I'll teach you some stuff." And Michael P.S. Hay goes, "Ooh, man, you're hitting on her." And I guess Ludwig didn't like it. And I guess Ludwig went after him with a chair. I'm assuming
this is a work. This is a work.
Is it?
Yes, this is a work. It's to set up a push for Ludwig Kaiser.
I don't know. Maybe Logan Paul tends to get under people's skin.
I don't think he does it as much behind the scenes. Why would he go to
Tiffy and say, "Hey, I can help you with the moonsault"? She got like the ultimate moonsault.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's a work. Now you're getting worked. I'm usually the one that gets worked. All right, that's going to do it for Kabali and Mac After Dark. Thanks again to our friends at the Dan Heck team. Happy birthday, Michelle. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the whole team going to help you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Go to Heck, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. Thanks to southwestgreenspa.com. Thanks to Impact HVAC. Thanks to First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village. You're running out of time to become a subscriber. Kabali and Mac on YouTube. Once we hit 500, that raffle goes off and somebody wins the autographed Sid photo plaque as well. Thanks to everybody who chimed in the comments, whether it was on YouTube or X or wherever. We'll do it again. We should do it again next week while you're in Indy.
Sounds good to me. I mean, I think Omar talks early Tuesday.
So, Tuesday night, then. Another Kabali and Mac After Dark. People seem to love it.
Don't interfere with my, my night out of hitting some booze and some.
You have one food. Job. You have one. Are you staying until Thursday next week, or are you going in and out Tuesday and Wednesday?
It might be Wednesday at this point. I'm not quite sure. It all depends on how I'm needed.
Okay, you have one job. See if you can get Pat or one of the boys to jump on with you.
Oh, I can probably get Bubba Gambino on there, right?
Okay, work on it. Make it happen.
Oh,
you can do it. You can make things happen. I know you can. You're a man that gets things done, like you're about to go get that toilet plunged.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Until tomorrow morning, they go to wake up to go to school, and I'm like,
All right, that's going to do it for Kabali and Mac. Go clean your toilets, kids. Don't forget, subscribe on YouTube at Kabali and Mac. And, of course, follow us both on social media as well. That's going to do it for tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.